Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning.
You sound fired up.
Hey, well, you know what? That's just, you know, we got into that real mushy stuff at the day yesterday, and I've had pain since then. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on, you know, today. And it's, well, first of all, it's 7:05. It's, you know, we're starting out here, 6:05, 4:05, 6:07. Get ready, you all you chemtrail aficionados.
December 2nd.
I think we're going to jump onto that for a little bit since I've been assaulted already this morning with chemtrails. Or you can follow us and we chat on KCNR1460.com. There's Bad Bob. He's sitting there. He's gnashing his teeth. He's sharpening his wits because chemtrails, aluminum and barium into the system.
I just, you know, chemtrails, global warming, WikiLeaks. I'm interested in all these things that the whole total seems to be, let's bring about the crushing of America. Do you connect some dots here?
Well, you know what? It's, you know, what is this global, what is this one global order or one world or, you know, what are they called? The Bilderbergs or something that says, let's just screw up the United States. And so where Holder comes on the news. And here we got WikiLeaks, which is releasing hundreds of thousands of documents that's just hitting us and harming us. What does he say they're going to address? Well, we're going to go after those websites that are selling fake Gucci bags. Come on, Holder. Jeez. You know, of course, this is the guy that takes a terrorist with 850,000 counts of terrorism against it, gets every one of them thrown out in court, and gets them for conspiracy. Good move, Holder. Wait a minute, weren't you the one involved in Waco a few years back? Okay, but the high spot today, the bright spot, the one that makes me mellow.
Our Thursday is better because of her.
Is here she is.
Linda. I am here today.
You are here today.
And
I'm
on
so
the
happy.
Spot, I think, and on the spot is happening tonight, and you know, Frank Strazzarino is going to be in today, and I thought I'm coming in, and usually you find a guest host, and even though you had some people lined up, we just, anyway, so it's all good. And I wanted to, you know, of course, the weather is changing, and today is going to be high of 51. It's raining, 80% chance of rain, but it's raining. Today, of course, again, the weather's going to be high of a 51, and tonight is going to be low of around 41. So it's not like a big jump, but that's kind of what we're looking at. Currently 46 degrees. And I love to give you those for the dates. So on this day, sales of Henry Ford's fabulously successful Model T had slipped noticeably in 1926. So those who lived during the prosperous 1920s had their fill of pure utility and were ready for a larger measure of comfort and beauty. The Ford car simply had not kept up with America's rising standard of living. And so production of the Model T ceased at the end of May 1927. A few days after the 15th millionth car had come off the assembly line, a new car would take its place. The most extraordinary aspect of Henry Ford's plunge into the future was that his old car expired before his new car had been born. No matter what vehicle he might come up with, no one knew how it would be powered because no plan for a new engine existed. Nonetheless, movement in the direction of a totally new car forged ahead. Ford's basic concept was for a car that would deliver speed, power, and comfort suited to the improved roads and the quickened pace of life in that day. The body would be lowered, the T longer, wider, more pleasing, and its proportions available in a variety of models and an assortment of colors.
Oh, there you go.
Of course, we know the Model T had only been available in black, and it would be named after the first car made by Ford Company back in 1903.
Cool.
Guess what it is?
Model A.
The Model A.
Well,
the first Model A was unveiled on this day in 1927 in New York City's Waldorf Hotel.
Well, you know the thing about what Ford did, which, of course, was the extraordinary thing, was he put together the idea of building an automobile on the assembly line. He said you could have any car you wanted. You could have any color you want on your car as long as it's black.
Do you know how much it sold for?
$4,000.
$395.
I was close. Oh, well, you know what? That's more than I paid for my first car.
The sedan was sold for $495.
I paid $100 for a car I bought off a lot in Ellensburg, Washington. Made it up over the Snoqualmie Pass twice. Well, okay, one and a half times. They didn't make it the second time during the middle of the winter, and I was kind of standing out there hitchhiking in a snowstorm. But for $100?
Were you picked up?
Yeah. By somebody going the other direction, I ended up in Seattle.
And on that note...
I take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, North State. Oh, yeah, it feels good today. It's Thursday, the second day of December. What's on your list to do today? I'll tell you, an email that came in, everybody should know about this, and I'm sure this is a reminder. Have your kids taken their letters to Santa to Macy's to make a Macy's makes a donation to Make-A-Wish. Macy's has a special big red mailbox at the store for the kids to drop their wish list. Hopefully you can, she says, can you make some time? Of course I can make some time. You don't even have to be a kid. Anybody can, you know, kid at heart. Anybody could drop a letter of your wish list in the Macy's big red mailbox. And then for every letter, Macy's will make a donation to Make-A-Wish. There you go.
Okay.
It's very cool. It's, you know, because we really never grow up. It's like, you know, Carl says, well, what are we going to do? Grandkids are going to be here. What are we going to do for Christmas? You should have something to open under the present, under the tree.
Yeah.
I know I can't completely. I mean, I know there's been cute things where somebody wraps their whole, you know, puts themselves in a box and wraps it and gets delivered. I've heard stuff like that, but I'm not going to be that creative.
Good. And for God's sake, don't wrap Bob. Send him over. Hey, you know, WikiLeaks guy, this guy, Assange, or whatever his name is, you know, he keeps saying is that this is trumped up charges on rape. But Sweden's highest court has refused permission to the founder to appeal against an arrest order because, you know, this arrest order just isn't kind of arbitrarily done like we do in some areas around here. It's just, you know, it's put out and that, so they're looking for him right now. Of course, he's saying it's not true, you know, as but you know what? Why do we care? This, you know, here's the thing is well, President Obama, how come you haven't said anything about this? I mean, really said anything about these leaks? I mean, you've talked about other things, but maybe we need to hear from you on it. I mean, is it serious enough? You know, the fact is that Holder's out there talking about, you know, shutting down websites to sell fake Gucci's. And that, to me, is Gucci. So, anyway, the tax relief. The Democrats want to force a vote on these tax breaks. And which means is they want the Republicans to vote that's saying, hey, look, let's give everybody a tax break. We need to keep pushing. This is not the time to take money away from Americans. And so the Democrats want to say, oh, no, no, those rich people don't need it. You know, let's get this class warfare going. Okay. But what they should do, and this is probably what's going to happen, they should just extend the breaks for everybody for a year and then work on them. You know, they had all year long to work on this. But do you think they do it during the elections? Of course not, because they don't want to take stands. They're never going to say anything about the border. They're never going to say anything that could actually affect us because they have no intestinal fortitude. And it starts from the top. But you got to start getting over this a little bit and let us business owners, yes, let the business owners, the backbone, the small business owners, the backbone of this nation when it comes to the economy, let us know what we're going to be getting into next year. Do something. You know, I said today we were going to talk to him. We started off with chemtrails. You know, the chemtrails are, in case you haven't been hearing about this, and if you have a computer, put chemtrails in there and you get 1 million hits on something. Essentially what it says is aluminum and barium, I think it's barium, have shown up in larger quantities on our surface of the earth. And how does it do that? Well, if you look up in the sky and you see planes flying over, the trails from these contrails have lasted longer, they've gotten bigger, and they're hanging out there just showering down aluminum and barium. The question is, why is somebody doing this? And two, who is the somebody doing this? What?
In the last decade, engine blocks are increasingly being manufactured from aluminum alloys. Of course, it is so central to a lot, and car bodies are being constructed from aluminum. Could that not be a source of this material? Why does it have to be a hideous, dark, shrouded conspiracy? I'm a fan of the simple explanations.
We've got a show on here on Sunday, which we love. It's Sovereign Minds. And White Crow and the gang there, they talk about all types of theories like this, and they want people's ideas. Anything from the feds to chemtrails. And here's my whole question about chemtrails for my friends out there. And there's a lot of people out there that just absolutely believe that chemtrails are true, that somebody, some agency is putting all of this aluminum and barium into the air. Here's my question, which nobody has been able to answer yet. Where do they take off from? How do they load these hundreds of thousands of tons into the airplanes? If this has been going on for 28 years, like they've said, why hasn't one person or two people or anything close to that come out and said, I participated in this chemtrailing? How come somebody hasn't taken a picture with an iPhone and sold it for billions of dollars? Because that's exactly what it would cost. I mean, what people would pay for. How can you load this into a plane? Are these have to be like boxcars of materials that are going to one site. So how do you do it? You know, having been in the Marines a little while, just trying to move a platoon 50 miles gets to be a pain. So you're talking about thousands of planes all through the year, hundreds of, who knows, millions of tons of this stuff. Somebody must have seen something.
Where's the chemtrail WikiLeaks?
Yeah, WikiLeaks. Well, of course, WikiLeaks would only do it if it's going to harm the United States, which probably tells me they should be. They're probably researching it right now. Hey, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, chemtrails. What do you think, huh? 605-4567. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I was kind of waiting for, I thought that was part of the commercial. I was waiting for it to end. Bob's sitting there looking at me. Okay. Hey, 605-4567, we're chatting on KCNR 1460.
That's the Bee Gees staying alive. That's John, can't you see John Travolta walking down the street?
Yeah, well.
With his shoes, a strut. He was strutting. He doesn't walk and staying alive. He struts.
It's going to rain today.
This is my life, folks.
Matter of fact, it already has.
80% chance of rain, so I think it's already. Yeah, it was sprinkling when we left this morning. Were you aware?
No. I'm pretty numb in the morning.
December 2nd. I love that. You know, you play great bump music. Bob, thank you so much for playing great bump music. It keeps me awake, keeps me alive. We want to hear
Bad
from
Bob
you.
Bob the Bump Boy.
605-4567. There's so much
We're
stuff going on.
We're having too much fun. Okay, here's things that is. Okay, let's get a little serious here. You know, I can't talk about chemtrails and be serious. Shasta Blood Center is announced this week it is in need of A negative, A B negative, and O negative blood. So, and blood source is in need of O negative donors. Of course, they'll take all your blood. They're not going to turn you away if you've got, A positive or whatever. But it's, you go through, it's at 1880 Park Marina Drive. And you can call 243-0160 or 221-0600 to give blood. Let me tell you a story about giving blood in Iraq. Every time we had a injury come in, and there would be like if you're in any offices or any places around there, somehow the word would go out on the computer, but it was kind of like magically. People would start hearing the helicopters coming in, from the medevacs.
And like MASH?
And they'd be doing them outside the wall or outside this one area, so they had to transport them by ambulance from where they were landing them in the planes. Now, if they were bringing them in trucks, you see these trucks come racing through the camp because they were bringing in casualties that way if it was close. And so people would start running to the our surgical units there to give blood.
Wow.
And I tell you what, I mean, I was probably about 250 yards away from the surgical, from where our med was. And you know, I heard the helicopters coming in one day, and I took off and I trotted on down there. Well, I mean, it couldn't have taken me more than a couple of minutes. And and there's a line there, and there's always lines there of Marines and sailors that just just lined up to give blood. One day I actually had to pull rank to get into the line. I said, "Look, I'm going to get into the front of the line." And these guys, these Marines and sailors, "Hey, wait a minute." I said, "Hey, I've only got so much blood." One day, my gunnery sergeant's running down there madly to get in line, and he comes back like 8 minutes later. "What's going on, Guns?" "Well, sir," he said, "one of our patrols was ambushed, and they gave back a lot better than they got, and they captured the people that from Al Qaeda that had ambushed them, and they brought them back in. So the blood is for." Is for Al Qaeda to give them blood. And I said, "So how much did you give?" And he just looked at me, of course, and said something unprintable and walked away. But that was one of the things we did, is that the line was still there. They gave them blood, they saved their lives. It's kind of interesting at the time.
That's how we were raised.
Do you have something there, hon?
I'm just looking at you. You're holding down the fort.
Well, here's an article in a paper today I found kind of interesting.
I'm in the chat room, and there's really not that much activity. So,
well, say hi to Coach Bob.
Hey, Coach Bob. Here's what I understand is on the front page today, it's got the people out there saying is they're being there. A road was closed that allows them to get to their homes, and they're saying it was done as a revenge for a lawsuit, which, by the way, was thrown out by the judge. And they're saying that the road closure there is to right there by the Sugar Pine Conservation Camp causes them to take a 45-minute detour along a dirt road they say becomes impassable in poor weather. And the guy that says, he says it's revenge, he sued the Department of Forestry, of course, and it was thrown out. The case was thrown out. And so the people from the Sugar Pine Conservation Camp said, "Hey, we're closing it because it's a danger to the inmates, people driving up there, people are, construction vehicles, there's smuggling going on." Well, the question is, and we're going to get to that when we get on the other side. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Join us after the news. CNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:34 in the morning, 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley, he's been in business since 1985. His phone number is 244-1988, professional, capable, competent. That's what he does. That's what he is, and that's what he provides, that service for Dish Satellite. And right now he has rebates, so that you can get Dish Satellite and HD for free. That's right, for free. Call Doug at 244-1988.
Currently 46 degrees, going to be rainy today with a high, the temperature is a high 51. Tonight is going to be low of around 41. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. If you haven't been out there yet, head on out. Rick Hill will be playing on the 3rd. Then we'll be out there on the 10th of December, a wonderful Christmas program. We'll be Candice Lavolsi, Rick, myself, Johnny Gonzalez, Bruce Kalin, Dan Kinkle. It'll be the gang. It'll be a fun night. So make your reservations early. I know there's so many things going on, but this is the perfect place to go and get your maybe your hostess gift or that special gift to give somebody who has everything. They don't have a beautiful bottle of wine from Anselmo Vineyards.
Okay, let's go back to them closing this road up there by Sugar Pine. The thing is that there was, people have used this road for years. And even though that it's said that it's a private road, that they have allowed the residents up there to use Sugar Pine Camp Road for years, even though that, as Doug Wenham, the operations manager up there, says, they never really had a legal right to do it. But they said that the department's lawyers suggested to close the road amid worries that the residents' construction equipment and car traffic on the road was risking the safety of inmate fire crews, firefighters, and corrections officers as they traveled to and from the camp. There was also worries about contraband. Plus, residents on Backbone Ridge have never paid to maintain the road. Okay. Those all could be really good reasons. However, the question is why now? And it's during the winter time when roads are really bad, and so they've only got one way in and out, and that's off this Backbone Ridge Gulch Road, which is dangerous from from the articles in the paper. It's a dangerous road to drive. So why pick now during the winter time to do this? I mean, there's not like there's a lot of fires going on, is there? Is there a lot of fires going on that would keep would keep those roads real busy? Or is it just something that, you know, that a government agency one more time, said, let's just stick it in somebody's eye? You know, who's taking a look at this? What about the Shasta County Board of Supervisors? Should they be looking at this? Should somebody just look at it and say, hey, wait a minute, is there a way we can work this thing out so we don't have to, these people don't have to be harmed? That they don't have to risk their lives going on this trail? I mean, okay, you know, he says, well, if they come down and they ring the, if they call us, we'll let them in and out. Why not just give them a key for the road if they're worried about people going up and down there that don't have permission to do it? Have them sign waivers that say that, hey, we realize that we're driving on this road, that it's, you know, that it's a government road and that we don't maintain it. Have them do that. But why now? Why now in the beginning of the winter, beginning of the, you know, of the rainy season, where people are going, if you don't have a four-wheel drive vehicle, the why you would not have a four-wheel drive vehicle up there, I'd be surprised. But why now? Why doesn't somebody ask this? I mean, it's a type of thing is that, if it was a civilian property, they couldn't do that. Because it's government, they can. That's just a bunch of questions, and we're going to keep following on this. We're going to get some people on there, and we'll have them just ask. We'll just ask them, what's going on with this thing.
It feels like we're kind of, like, being jumping around with a bunch of stuff today, but I also had an announcement that I should read off the...
Okay.
Or do you want to stay on subject? All right, let's go to the caller. I'll do this at the break. We'll come back.
Yeah, then we'll bring you right after
email.
This. We'll bring Dick in here to talk about Salvation Army. Ron, you're on, Ron.
Yes, good morning.
How
long has that road, has it been used by these people who live up there?
Well, it says here years.
Years,
so,
okay.
I mean, and their lawyer said that... the people who use, he said that they people use for at least 5 years, which I assume it's been for at least 5 years.
Okay, that was my thing. I, yeah. I don't know the laws, but I've heard of people, if they've used it for more than a certain amount of time, it automatically, they can't shut them off. They automatically, there's a...
It's grandfathered.
That's called a prescriptive easement.
Okay.
But there are no such rules when a government agency blocks access. According to the lawyer, that's
okay, well, that
there.
I was just thinking that maybe some lawyer could call in and maybe put a legal right or let some legal light on it.
Well, it just seems to me as this is, okay, I mean, was this like a surprise? We just thought about it now, right when the rains start, when to make people's lives a little bit more miserable. I mean, why now? Why not just say, okay, hey, look, we'll address this thing, but until we do, we find a way of doing this instead of just shutting it down. Let's just, let's try and work with the people that pay your salaries, the ones that pay to keep the upkeep on this road. How about the taxpayers?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too.
It just irritates me when things like this happen arbitrarily by our government that impacts on people when they don't have to do it. There are so many things that the government has to do that they don't do, like keeping our borders safe, those kind of things. And yet, when they don't have to do things, why make up these decisions just, why cut off all the roads back in the forest that the whole Shasta County Board of Supervisors voted against? Everybody in the daggone county practically says, don't cut it off, and they just did it. One woman just signs it off. She didn't have to do that. They could have worked with us. They chose not to. And then now this. I mean, why? Why now?
Well, I tell you what, I think it's coming down from Washington, D.C. That's just my own personal thoughts, but that's what I think about it.
Well, you know what I think? I think that the trouble in our country is coming from petty bureaucrats who make these little decisions that impact on people, and that's where your problems are. They do not answer to anybody.
No, they're
somewhere
don't
up the chain. You know, Ron, if you try to say, okay, look, I'm going to go up the chain, and by the time you get up to somebody that's willing to make a decision, you know, it's been months. You have to take it to courts. You know, why can't you just say, hey, look, let's, you know, why doesn't somebody call Wally? Wally Herger says, wait a minute, let's just open this up until we get this thing settled, till the weather clears.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, I think like you do, Carl. So, anyhow, I'll let you go and let somebody else call.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Good morning.
All right. Hey, good morning. Hey, you got to take a break. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio.
I'm not even sure what that means, Bob, but we'll be back right after these messages. 14:60, 7:43 in the morning, December the 2nd. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. We're chatting and rolling on KCNR1460.com.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Inside of Tobacco and Brew off of Hilltop is Espresso Joe's. If you're looking for that perfect cup of coffee, or, again, I'm going to keep saying this, they have Jingle Bell Crunch. They got every kind of coffee beans that you could possibly want, and in it to enjoy your holiday season. Great gift ideas, baskets of goodies, and inside of also Tobacco and Brew is the biggest walk-in humidor, and they have a very, very lovely meeting room that they generously donate to the community, and that's the kind of people that Joe and Shelley are from Tobacco and Brew. And they have been wonderful sponsors of our show since day one, and we are so very grateful. Currently 46 degrees. If you're just tuning in, it's going to be high today of 51, and we're going to have rain. Also with us today,
Dick Fighton.
Good morning.
Now,
good morning.
Dick usually comes in and we talk Ducks Unlimited, and this is good duck hunting weather, isn't it, Dick?
It's getting better. The guys tell me that we're up at Tule Lake. There are a lot of ducks up there. 2 weekends ago for a Ducks Unlimited district meeting. Got a few, but they're moving down south, and the guys in the valley are starting to get some ducks down there.
So do they import these ducks in for those big Duck Unlimited hunts? I mean, like bring them in cages from like Canada and then turn them loose while you're down there?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Okay, Dick's not here for that. I'm just kidding. Everybody knows that. I hope. Dick, you're here, though, for a really a great cause here. We're talking about bell ringing.
Yes, the Salvation Army, we have started our bell ringing program Black Friday, actually, after Thanksgiving, and it'll go until December 24th. And we have numerous stores that in Anderson, Redding, Shasta City, that'll allow us, Palisadro, that'll allow us to have our bell ringers out in front of their stores to collect money for the Salvation Army Corps. This is the really important drive that we have every year, that we raise enough money to support the Salvation Army for the rest of the year. Just to give you a little idea about the statistics that we deal with every year, is last year the Salvation Army served 9,858 people with food, utility bills, clothing, rent, prescription drugs, household goods, things of that nature. Sent 45 children to summer camp. We have, on average, 40 children per week participating in youth programs. 2,398 people were beneficiaries of Thanksgiving food baskets. I don't know what the number is this year. I'm giving you 2,009. And 2,567 people were beneficiaries of Christmas food baskets. 1,235 kids received toys. Our thrift stores, which we have four, are on Pine Street, on Highway 273, Anderson, and in Red Bluff. These stores, if you haven't shopped in them, stop in. There's some wonderful, wonderful used clothing, articles for your home and whatnot. Just really great stores, and they've been all cleaned up. And I think that you'd enjoy stopping in there. Anyway, the bell ringing, we need bell ringers. We set it up with 2-hour stints. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, goes until 8 o'clock at night, and you pick up your bell and your kettle at the Salvation Army store on Larkspur Lane. Go to your site and ring your bell for 2 hours. It's just a wonderful experience. What's really fun is when the little kids come up and the parents give them some money, they drop it in the kettle. I give them the bell, they ring the bell, and they have a great time. One of the other programs that we're doing with Bell Ringers this year is, as an example, Ducks Unlimited. We've taken the entire day for the Safeway store this Friday, tomorrow, from 8 to 8, and we're going to be able to put a little sign above their sign on the kettle saying this kettle sponsored by Ducks Unlimited Reading Chapter. We're going to go out in our camel clothes, our Ducks Unlimited hats, told the guys that duck calls are optional. And so if you've got a church, a service organization that you're looking to get a little exposure and do some really good deeds, I'd really encourage you to call Sylvia over at Salvation Army headquarters, 222-2207. And sign up for a couple hours, sign up for a day. It would be really helpful. We have a lot of people in need here in Shasta County.
Well, okay, let's have that number one more time.
222-2200.
No. The last zero is a 7.
Sorry.
That's all right. Do it one more time.
222-2207.
There we
Correct.
Go.
There
all
you
right.
go.
So
how
that's
can you forget that? 222-2207.
And that's the number that we need to call today. You need to call, and you don't need to, but wouldn't it be nice if you would get on the list? And I'll tell you, Carl and I have done it 3 years in a row, and it does give you, not only are you doing something for somebody else, it gives you the warm fuzzies. You see people you might not otherwise engage with. And it's wonderful to see the kids pull change out of their pocket or their parents have them go do it, because it is the feeling and the spirit of giving. And
teaches them to give.
Yeah, and it also, just there's something about ringing the bell with the kettle and knowing that it's going for such worthy causes.
You know, this is a lot of times this is a tough time, my friends out there. We know that economically. We've been talking about it. But this is how you can give something back. You know, maybe you don't have the money, but you have the time to ring a bell for a couple hours, and it does. It is gratifying, and it does help other people. And this is something we'll do. And when we do, we'll give you a. We'll let everybody know for a couple of days in advance where we're going to be at, so you can come down and harass us. I just like to know is how come why isn't it set up? But we have like a little electric ones there, Dick, so we can take like credit cards.
Well, it's a good thought. Maybe one day we'll move in that direction.
We are not going electronic, okay? No.
You have that little thing that makes that bell sound? No, I like to ring the bell because you can get, if somebody comes by and just ignores you, you can ring it at them. You know, you can be like obnoxious with it. But if you come in, you can do it the slow way. You can do it like quick, like, here I am. Or it's like, I'm here. Come to me. Give me some.
There you go.
There's different types of bell ringing. We'll be glad to give classes on. We've got to take a break. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thanks very much, folks.
1460-605-4567, Carl and Linda Bott. 754 is our last segment. That last one, Nerds on Call. Why would you ever name a business Nerds on Call? And then who's that elf on that commercial, Bad Bob? Huh? Who was that elf?
By the way, the Nerd Chicks are going to be our guests on Boomer Tech Radio Saturday, and it's going to be interesting hearing what they have to say.
Okay, the Nerd Chicks. You know, I need a photo of this for the website.
It's definitely a...
I need to see a photo of the...
That's a sitcom waiting to be made.
Yeah, we got somebody calling in about, wants to talk about road access. Brenda.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'll have you note that I made time today.
Thank you.
To listen to your show.
Oh.
I have time. I took a day off.
Well, maybe someday we'll do that for your show.
Turnabout is fair play.
Yeah.
You know, about the access, I have to agree with you. You know, why would the state make it dangerous for these people in the dead of winter? Why can't they wait till spring or summer and resolve it later? I agree with that. But there's another side to the lesson here, and that is if you buy property or you're going to, consider living somewhere, make sure you have rock-solid, documented access to it, because hearsay doesn't work so well. And I have some personal experience with that in our family regarding a property line. My parents bought a lot, and they thought, you know, they were told the line was here. Well, then they come to find out when it was surveyed years later, the line was actually 5 feet further on to what they thought was their property, and they have a building that extends beyond that 5 feet. In other words, part of the building is on the neighbors. And so that, because the building's been there like 40 years, you know, there's nothing the neighbor can do about it. So if these people are accessing their property without a written easement and that sort of thing, ooh, that's a little dicey. And
well,
I'm not
is.
Saying I agree with the state, but you have to be really careful as a property
owner. And I understand that, Brenda, but come on. This is...
I agree.
Again, we go back into the fact that they've been using it for years and years. You know, there's a lawsuit that was thrown out, but still, it was kind of like, it was one of these things, was it like, well, you know, if you don't appreciate what we do up here, you know, then here, let me stick you in the eye.
Right.
I'm sure it wasn't like that. I'm sure there was no revenge in this. I'm positive of that. However, the timing of it was kind of strange.
I have to agree with you.
And I know you are, but the thing that bothers me is this. It's another government agency doing something they don't have to do.
Yeah.
They don't have to do this right now. They could do this down. They could do it after the, you know, after the weather changes a little bit. They could talk about it. They could issue keys. If they're worried about people going up and down there, they can say a variety of things. Hey, we'll let you use your own personal cars and stuff during the winter time. You can't build up there anyway, and you know, so we keep it safe. But I don't see that. I don't see them saying things like that.
Nope. And then the other side is that even though government supplies us with some much needed things. Never assume the government's your friend, because they really aren't.
And the government supplies us these much-needed things because it's paid for by tax dollars.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Anyway, that's my rant for the day.
Okay, well, it wasn't a big rant, but okay. But thanks for listening.
Okay, so I want to know, because I kind of came in late in the story, was it a right-of-way?
Well, it's not a right-of-way, and see, that's the thing. It was an access road they were using for years.
Okay,
but it belongs to the government,
right.
That's right, and the Sugar Pine Conservation Camp, who these guys do great work, by the way, don't misunderstand me, they are out there fighting fires, and they're using inmates, and risking their lives out there for us, that's fine. What they said was, it's all of a sudden now, that road has become too dangerous. It's too dangerous for inmates and the corrections officers, you know, because of people driving up and down there, and they're worried about... You know, inmates having things smuggled into them, illicit stuff, whatever that is.
But it's not like the government seized
property. No. It's not that. But what they did was, is they cut off their access, the easy access to the property. Now they've got to go down a winding, dangerous road that's not paved, that everybody agrees is dangerous. And now it's the winter.
I agree with you.
And because it's the winter, you know, what I'm saying is, hey, guys, can't we just kind of like have a... timeout until it's spring?
I'm in agreement with that. I'm in agreement with the fact that the timing is not good. But I will say that just the rule of thumb is that if there's a right-of-way or a government-run or owned piece of a property, that at any moment, one should assume, at any moment, that can be taken away.
Well, you know how government is with timing. This process probably started 6 or 8 months ago, and bureaucracy wheels being slow that they are, it's probably just now gotten finalized.
We need to talk to the people. Hey, look, we got to run here because your husband refused to give me the time when we're getting ready to run out of here. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, Chester Redding.
Good morning, North State, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're chatting and streaming on KCNR1460.com. 805, December the 2nd.
Hey, 80%.
22 more shopping days till Christmas.
Stop it. You know what? I'm pretty much done.
Okay.
But while we're out shopping this week, we just want to let you know that there is mostly going to be raining this week, although Friday's a 30% chance. But today it's an 80% chance, and we know coming in it was raining. High of 51, currently 46 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Also want to give you a reminder that this Sunday at 7 p.m., the Brubeck Institute Quintet will be performing at Old City Hall. It's going to be a great performance with some brilliant and inspirational young musicians. So please encourage your students to come, and all of you aspiring musicians at any age. Admission is $15 and only $5 for students. Again, that is the Brubeck Institute Quintet.
You know, I've got something important here. On the Spot with Linda Bott.
Tonight.
6 p.m. You know, I enjoy that.
Thank you. We'll have Lisa
we
Collins.
Drink champagne.
Lisa Collins will come in and be talking about theater, and I'm going to be highlighting some music. And actually, Nancy Sutton Pierce will be on tonight. We'll be talking about some of her recent columns. And Bethany comes in and talks about her product of the week. And, of course, it's December, so it's always glam time. And we have lots of giveaways. So tune in tonight at 6, and we have some gift certificates that we're giving away free. So we just be listening and call in and get those. With us in the studio, we're going to have a great hour of talking a lot about what's going on in on a local level. And we have the president, the man in charge of the Chamber of Commerce, Frank Strazzarino.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Starting right off, first question. Frank, what does the Chamber do?
Well, Chamber of Commerce is a business advocacy organization. We have 1,000 members, and those members employ about 14,000 people. So we're here to really promote the business community. We have a long and involved mission statement to economic climate, improve the businesses, and all this kind of thing, but it really comes down to promote and protect. And those two functions are what we do. We promote business with everything we do, with greeters, with seminars, with workshops, with the business expos. So part of our job is to promote business. And the other part of the job is to protect, and that's really protect business from all those kind of things that organizations and government can do to business, fees, fine, forfeitures, the types of things that make it tough to grow your business, bring jobs into the community. So I could take a big paragraph, and I could get it down to two words, and I could get it down to one word, and some people don't think I'm a man of few words, but I can do that. And the one word would be profit. Profit is not a dirty word. When businesses profit, they're able to grow their business, add jobs, contribute sales tax revenue, and help this economy. And even for our nonprofit members, we have over 100 of those as well, part of the chamber. They recognize that they benefit when the community benefits. So we're here really to promote business.
Well, I have one other question that piggybacks that. When you talk about profit, shopping local, staying local, even if it's could you help break that down? I mean, you want to shop the ma and pa places, but if they don't have what you need and you ended up going to a bigger box store in the Reading area, is it true, in fact, that some of the sales tax from that area inside of Reading stays here?
It's got to be sales generated here. So the sales tax goes to the jurisdiction where the sales are made. That's why we want people buying cars here. We spend a ton of time talking about Shop Reading. We'll probably talk about the car dealers. And, of course, if we open the season on good and bad car stories, we'll probably have to go till about noon today because people will tell lots of those. But we ask people to Shop Reading. That means come in, visit the stores, ask questions. We want to encourage people to Shop Reading and see what cars are out there for sale. But you know what? If they can get a way better deal, somebody wrote in saying they saved $8,000, somebody said $5,000. And I don't know if those are bragging rights or real stories, because our car dealers are ready to deal and they're ready to meet. But all we're asking is people come in and shop. And if you feel the service is not good, the product is not good, the price is not good, you should go somewhere else. In a bit, we can talk about what Amazon.com is doing to this economy, because even for those people that are doing a good job and are very competitive, my gosh, you go on Amazon.com, and they're not just selling books. They're selling paper towels, and they're selling software and printers and everything.
Yeah, they're selling everything. And here's the thing is that anytime you shop on the Internet, not 1 cent comes back to the community. And, you know, if you want to shop on the Internet, get on the Internet, find which local stores have those things that you want. And that's we've got to take a break. That's one of the things I want to talk about, is that every business in this town should have a website.
Yep.
And it should be out there, so if somebody's looking for a set of drums for their kids, you know, every one of the music stores there. If they're looking for paper towels, hey, go down to the spot here and you buy your paper towels. Because if you're not going to get into the electronic age, you're not going to be competitive. Anyway, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Frank Strazzarino of the Chamber of Commerce. We're going to be talking about the shopping local, but we're going to be talking about there's been a battle has started between the Chamber of Commerce and the in our present administration. We want to talk a little bit about that, too. Join us after these messages. Well, Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:14, December the 2nd, 2010, 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. Our guest is Frank Strazzarino from the Chamber of Commerce, the Reading Chamber of Commerce. A lot of things going on here. You know, one of the things I talked about is U.S. Chamber of Commerce seems to be in a, you know, in a battle with the Obama administration. But let's go back to closer in here. A lot of changes going on at city government. A lot of things going on. You know, look at editorials. People are, you know, all, you know, in different parts of the country are giving up. You know, in the negotiations are giving up pay raises, et cetera, et cetera. But the, what really affects our businesses here is the business climate at City Hall and at the county Board of Supervisors. How would you describe the business climate?
I would say the business climate is you know, it's challenging right now. There are some real issues going on with so much unemployment, probably closer to 20%. People are not shopping as much. We have high hopes for this season. And actually, the friend of Newsweek this week I have with me says, money to burn, why Americans can't stop spending. Although at this time of year, that's what we want them to do. Because earlier we touched on sales tax revenue, and the general fund is almost 44% sales tax revenue. A lot of people think it's property tax or these policemen driving around motorcycles and giving you tickets. That's where the money comes from. But sales tax is a big driver. That's why you see, you know, the competition even between governmental agencies for sales tax revenue. So we want people to be shopping more in town because that's the economic engine that drives this. As far as the business climate, you know, the city council's been pretty supportive of business. And that's why when we talk in a bit about Stillwater or job creation or getting the economy going, when we talk about fees or not raising fees, the council's been pretty attentive. When we got behind Bassetti 4 years ago and also talked with Patrick Jones, we said we want someone to ask tough questions at City Hall, look at the budget, address the pension issue, and stop blindly accepting what staff has said recommendation-wise. And both Rick and Patrick did that. So 6 months ago, before the election really got underway, we endorsed both men because we felt they did a very good job. On Stillwater, you know, the other council members, Stegall, who's the leading council, and Dickerson, were supportive there, and Dick's been very active with the EDC meetings. So I think council gets it, and really what it is enlightened self-interest. You know, sales tax generates the income that runs the city and funds police, fire, parks, and roads, and the jobs at Stillwater are the people that are going to spend dollars in this economy. It's really not rocket science.
Okay, here's one of our questions coming in from the chat room is, how would you rate the job city manager Kurt Starman is doing?
Got a good relationship with Kurt Starman. He's been accessible and available. I sent him an email yesterday and got an answer in 7 minutes. We sat down with the Reading Electric Utility Director. We have concerns about 7.84% increase 2 years in a row. We had a ton of questions, and my board peppered Mr. Hoosier with questions for an hour, and he did exceptionally well. So Kurt has been very attentive. He's been responsive to the business community. And frankly, he understands the auto promotion where we gave away $10,000 over a couple months and did all that campaign. The city kicked in some money. Kurt came to meetings, and Kurt was there when we awarded the grand prize to the winner. So I would say Kurt's been very attentive to that. He's got a pretty tough job right now.
Another question coming in. Have you got any early reports about the Black Friday sales?
No, just anecdotal information. And what I've read nationally is that it's been going pretty well. The people are spending money, and that's why, even though we you know, that's, I guess it's a two-edged sword. Americans have not saved enough for retirement, different things, but we're kind of saying, well, yeah, you should save, you should be responsible. So when they do that, we tell them, no, you got to spend more because we need that income. So we're still a consumer-based economy, and the stores were pretty busy. We have a brand-new manager at Walmart. Kim is new to town, has taken over from Mike Black, and she was very encouraged with the crowds there. So it seems to be going pretty well. Sometimes it doesn't look like it because the checkout stand moves so quickly. They're very attentive, if you notice, in the stores to getting people through the lines, but they had a pretty good Friday, and we're expecting the season to really pick up, and that's going to be a catalyst for this economy.
Okay, another question that's come in, Frank. Patrick Jones opposes the Turtle Bay Hotel on the grounds that it's unfair to existing hoteliers. What's your position?
You know, we didn't formally take a position on that with the board, but fortunately, you know, I wrote some things on some of the blog comments, whatever, and talking with folks. I mean, I looked at the jobs, the economic impact. I looked at construction that we desperately need in this area. The whole concept of having a hotel there, a pool there, some additional convention space, a restaurant, connecting it to the lobby, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's an absolute home run, and I'm glad it's happening. I know there's been some concern about that. So the question is, then you go to the main hotel person in town, Steve Gaines, from Best Western. He's an outstanding individual, and he says, I support the hotel. So once we heard that, we knew that. And you know, Jack's is a pretty outstanding steakhouse, and so when Market Street came in and somebody says, well, look at Cattleman's, look at Outback, and look at what's going on with all these Logan's, we think competition's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. We're trying to get the government to come along there, and we can touch on the privatization committee, but competition is healthy. Well, it's useful.
Well, we got to take a break, but that's something I want to talk about when we come back, this privatization thing. Is the people doing the study were the people that it was going to affect. And I'm not exactly sure how you can do that. How if I'm going to do if I've got something that's going to have a dramatic effect on our station, I said, well, let me study that. You know, even if I want to be fair, there's got to be something in the back of my mind that says if I do this, this could have a direct impact on me, and my wife and my kids and all of this. So
I'd be happy to touch on that.
I want to talk about privatization.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR 1460, Elma Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:23 in the morning, December the 2nd. Hey, 605-4567. Or chat with us at KCNR1460.com, which many of you are doing right now. Our guest, Frank Strazzarino, heads up the Reading Chamber of Commerce. And the Reading Chamber of Commerce has been around for like 100 years.
In fact, you're having your 100th anniversary at the Convention Center Wednesday, December 8th. You might want to be there. You can enjoy food samples from local restaurants. There's no host bar, and it'll be incredible raffle prizes. That's December 8th, Reading Convention Center, 5:30 to 8 p.m. Tickets for pre-sale are $10 and or $15 at the door. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It's going to be a great event. There's always good food. It's a good time of year. And for those that haven't seen the convention center yet, all gussied up, it's pretty impressive. So be sure to drop by and meet a lot of friends.
We're members of the Chamber of Commerce. We're proud to be of that because we know it's our community, and we can belong to certain organizations. That's one of them. We've had just like about 150 questions come rolling through here. Let's talk about privatization here. We've talked about Turtle Bay Hotel, and you think that's going to be good for business. There's talk about privatizing or selling the Civic Center, the Rodeo Grounds.
Yeah, that's probably a non-starter as far as the convention center, but there has been a committee looking at privatization. About a year and a half ago, we commissioned a study with Shasta Voices, with Mary Machado, who does an outstanding job, and she wrote a very detailed study on privatization that's on her website, or I could give anyone that visits the chamber a copy of it, and it clearly showed examples of privatization working all throughout the state and through the country. It was clear and unequivocal. She showed it to the unions beforehand and city staff and really got that information out to a lot of people to be sure it was correct information. We told Mary, here, go do the study. Tell us what you find. And if you find out that privatization's not working, please come back and tell us. And, you know, then we'll just move on to the next issue if we're wrong. But, you know, when you look around the community at the library with LSSI, you look at the RABA system, you look at Big League Dreams with the sports park, you look at the soccer park, there are tons of examples of successful things being privatized. So the city council appoints a committee. They appoint themselves to the committee. So now there's 10 people on the committee instead of an independent group. And so they start studying police and fire. You know, there are examples of police and fire somewhere, but we were never really looking at privatizing police and fire. The CVB, Convention Visitors Bureau, that was a no-brainer. That should have taken 7 minutes and 10 seconds just to look at that and say, put it with the Shasta Cascade, Wonderland, that same world-famous Steve Gaines runs that. They do a good job. Let those guys do it. Why pay government employees salary and benefits at their cost for doing community promotion? And that's all fine. So now we've kind of looked at the lawns, and we think that Gus McIntyre or TaylorMade can mow the lawn just as cheaply, if not cheaper, than city folk can with a salary and benefits. Well, the study came back from the city staff and did not agree with that. They had a second session. We sent some people to testify. They didn't agree either. So we have not made the inroads there yet. Again, we believe there's tons of good examples. And if for no other reason, having to competitively bid on that, city people bid with private companies and vendors to do services, is a way to look at that. And we're hoping for a test project where that can be considered.
Well, I think the head of the Parks Department said there's no money to do a... What is it, RFA?
RFP.
Yeah. Request for, yeah, but they said there was no money to do that, so why even get into this thing if there was no money to go out there and request bids?
And I would say this then, okay, then let's governmentalize the things that we've privatized. Let's take the RABA system and let's make all those people city or county employees. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It would cost $12.50 to take the bus to the mall, but let's go ahead and do that. Why don't we privatize the library? And for the citizens don't care whether a county employee checks out their book or a city employee or a nonprofit or LS, they don't really care. As a matter of fact, you know what? You check your own book out of the library. You don't need a government employee or a private employee to do it. Times have really changed, and unfortunately the cost of not changing with the times is prohibitive.
So the how much money do you believe has been saved by having RABA and the Igloo Dreams, the library? How much does that save the taxpayer?
And I'm not sure that's been exactly quantified. Mary has some of that in her study. And years ago when we had a discussion about the fire department and the station that exists there at the airport, there are private companies that do that. Now, again, no one's favoring privatizing the entire fire station or the fire department by any means. But we considered that. And what the fire guys did was they tweaked their bid. They came back with a better offer. And so the taxpayers saved $50,000, $60,000 just by the fact that they had to sharpen their pencils because they realized that they potentially could lose that job when that company was moved to Fire Station 8. We could have brought in a private company. So competitive bidding just keeps everybody honest. That's all.
Question, the city staff claims that employees can cut lawns for 30% less than the private sector. Why?
Well, you know, you talk to Gus McIntyre, you talk to Debbie Taylor, I've talked to Kent Dagg because he has members that do that. I have members that do that. They find that's a little bit strange. They find that hard to believe. Now, there are things the city has with certified arborists. There are issues where they have to invest in a certain amount of equipment. So there are some reasons why. And then on new projects that are being built, of course, prevailing wage kicks in. So you can't just take the whole thing and disassemble it. But there are a number of things that can be effectively outsourced, and life still goes on. And the CVB is a good example. They're doing a great job in the same function. They're just doing it much cheaper, and it's really a larger savings for the taxpayers. And that's ultimately where the taxpayers ought to be paying attention. At some point, I'll talk about the lack of a taxpayers association in our area, which is a huge shock to me for Shasta County, because we should have a strong, viable taxpayers organization, and we do not.
Okay. Well, we've got about a minute left here, so we can't really get into the next group of questions.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about the white elephant.
Okay.
There are elephants out there. Let me finish taxpayers quickly just by saying three independent taxpayers organizations in Shasta County have failed. I think Tea Party does a good job tracking issues, and maybe they are a de facto taxpayers organization, but I've always belonged to one. The Howard Jarvis Group has some members up here. I'm a member of that group. But it amazes me that we don't have a stronger taxpayers organization in Shasta County. That is a huge void.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that, but I also want to talk about the white elephant, but I want to talk also about, you know, some of the things that people can do right here to make a difference. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, well, Free Fire Media, Carl Lindebaugh, 8:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, DC Tim and the Man in Black there. Give great haircuts, great prices. If you're a veteran, you get a discount. They've got it's a discount there, Bob. You go in there, but not for your beard. They'll charge more for your beard because your beard, it's got animals in it. It's Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold, right off Athens Avenue. Sorry, Bad Bob.
I thrive on abuse.
I know. That's why we call you Bad Bob. I treat you badly. You know, the chat room is just going nuts here. Today they're not fighting with each other. They've got a lot of good questions here, Frank. Frank Srazzarino, the head of the Reading Chamber of Commerce, is here. And things like, okay, let's go to Stillwater.
Right.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go to the white elephant first.
Well, no, because that is the white elephant. But I want to reply to some of the comments that are coming in about the convention center. I have performed at the convention center. I like the convention center because it's kind of, when you come into a town and it's been here, what do you want to call it? It's not iconic. It's it kind of represents an era. And I would like to see the money go into the convention center to restore that. I don't want to see it bulldozed. I don't want to see it taken down. I'd like to just see the money put into it so that you have better acoustics. And I am in agreement with that. I think that that seating could be redone. It could have a facelift, and it's like Arco Arena in Sacramento. We call it Echo Arena. I've never seen a show there where you really can hear audibly, well. And it's the same thing with the Reading Convention Center. So audibly, when you see a concert, it really isn't all that, spectacular, but still we have great performances that go there, and of course we try to support things. So it might sound, again, I always hate to think that I sound Pollyanna, but if you have a convention center that sits a lot of people and it's been there for a long time, why break it down? Just add to it, make it better.
And it's an outstanding facility. The city's kind of ignored that, and they were working on libraries and glass bridges and museums. Nothing intrinsically evil. They were doing other projects, but if you ignore infrastructure, it doesn't get better with age, and that's what happened at the convention center. But what an incredible accomplishment in the 60s for the city to get together when the population is 15, 20, 25,000 and to build something that's still serviceable today. It's not perfect, and it does need some capital improvements, but it's an outstanding facility. Ginny Mistel and Valerie Long and others have put together a committee, Friends of the Convention Center, and they're working their darndest to get the message out there that we value this facility, and that's why they had the open house last night, and it still is very, very functional. It's good to have competition, as we talked, by having the Cascade Theater, but it's a little different venue, a different approach, different parking arrangement.
Absolutely.
But that convention center is an outstanding facility, and I only hear a few voices talking about bulldozing it or tearing it down, and the operative question is, okay, what's the alternative if we do that? Had we built the California Horse Park, and maybe that will be resuscitated someday, it was an interesting proposal. That would have been a multiple assembly facility with great acoustics. That didn't happen for lots and lots of reasons. It was an interesting proposal. But the Convention Center is an outstanding building. It just needs some love and attention and details, and you're absolutely correct with your observations about acoustics.
I'm sorry, we were talking about the white elephant is Stillwater Park.
Okay, let's go into Stillwater here. Southwestern Paper Company.
Yes.
Do you know if that's still a viable entity?
They're still having conversations about that. I think there's been a lot of misinformation about the project and even more misinformation about Southern Aluminum. Stillwater really goes back to 1997 during the campaign with Pat Kite running for council saying, if you get the jobs, you can have everything else. It's about quality of life. So we embarked on a journey just to get a business park put together with a few hundred acres of serviceable space so we could fast-track people coming in. So they didn't have to go through the hoops of elderberry beetles, fairy shrimp, kangaroo rats, or cut grass, all those kind of things that
every other business has to go through.
Absolutely. So the idea was, let's have, acreage, 100-acre parcels ready to go that we could tell people, we want you here, we need you here, we work with you. We have affordable land, we have affordable energy rates, affordable labor, and we have fast-track permitting. Well, that's a lie until you get it done. So the things now and all the hoops people have to jump through are now in one place. Shasta County has a leg up on the rest of the state by having 800 acres out of Stillwater, parcels ready to go. And now, in addition to affordable land, cheap energy, we have affordable labor, fast-track permitting, here's a pretty good deal. The city council appears to be willing to give you the lot for free. How's that price? So it's Carl's Manufacturing in Sepulveda. You've had enough of gangs and graffiti and crime and problems down in Sepulveda and the labor force issues. And so we're romancing you, and we're saying, here's all the things we offered, as I just mentioned, and Carl, we'll give you the land free. So Southern Aluminum is here. There will be some talks. I believe it'll be discussed at the council level Tuesday.
Southern Aluminum or Southwestern Paper?
Southern Aluminum is going to be on the council agenda,
okay.
I believe, on
Tuesday.
Let's
take a look at this thing. Okay, fine. We're going to fast track. There's no railroad next to it, so you're going to have to be. Which I find interesting.
It would be
And so, but I wasn't here when this was going on. So I mean, we're just riding with this.
Right.
We want Stillwater to be a success. But here's my question: is this? Is we're giving away this land that the taxpayers have been paying for and paid for, and done all the infrastructure there for.
Right.
If it's Southwestern Paper, they get their first lot for free, and then they're getting, I think, a total of like a third of Stillwater. Is that right?
I don't know if that's the exact
something like that. Yeah, okay, and then you got Southern Aluminum.
Right.
Now, we said that we were going to give away the first lot free. Now, is Southern Aluminum going to pay for theirs, or are they going to get a lot free, too?
I'm not sure that's been determined yet. Well, and I think the one coming up in the docket first is Southern Aluminum.
Yeah.
You know, they're here. They have jobs here. They've been up at Caterpillar. Now they're down south of the city. They want to be here. They want to grow jobs. If you look at Captive Air as a good example, that company is here, 40, 50 employees. They've had more than that at some point. And they've come here. They've expanded. They've grown. They're in the old Oroweat facility. So we're hoping to replicate that. And really, the big gap in this economy, the reason we're not there is a lack of jobs, if you talk to people. And so Stillwater, for the last decade and a half, has all been about job creation. The question, the operative public policy question is, should we be spending public money? Do you have to spend money to make money? Many of us in business believe that you do.
Well, you know,
other people see it differently.
Well, you know, it's the thing is, you have to. If you know, if you're going to start a business, you've got to put out the assets for it. I think, though, is that when we do this, we've got to have a real good iron contract there that says if we're going to give this out, then we expect them to be here a long time. We expect them to come back. We expect to have this many jobs on this, as opposed to, okay, we're going to take advantage of you for 3 years, then we're going to move on to someplace else. Somebody else gives us a deal. Anyway, we got to take a break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 60, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, 605-4567. But it appears that everything is coming over
the chat room is alive and well.
So if you wanted to, you know, call and ask a question, that's okay, too.
We'll
it
be
just
reading
doesn't
some
have
of
to
your
be
questions.
This. But we really do like getting the chat because lots of great questions come across from all these, you know, from all of our listeners out there. 8:45 in the morning, this portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Dish Satellite, put in by Doug Tooley, 244-1988, guarantees his work. Also, he's got rebates right now. You can get free Dish Satellite and HD for free with the rebates. Give him a call, 244-1988.
Get scheduled because he's busy. I called yesterday, and he's a busy man. 845, like Carl said, is going to be high today with 51 being the top temperature, and of course, it's 80% chance of rain, and currently 56 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. I don't know, should I read?
Let me talk about
it. All right.
I mean, there's just so many things.
hey.
Let's go into this, though. We talked about Stillwater and Southern Aluminum Finishing Company. Right now, I've got a non-binding letter of intent, and this is not a secret. It's on Reading.com. Which would be the paper, Searchlight, to find. But essentially what it says is that the city intends to sell lot number 7 in there for over close to $2 million per the terms and conditions outlined below, and that the city will essentially forgive all that if these guys do what they say they're going to do.
And what they're going to do, of course, is build a $50,000 square foot plant on 16.75 acres. They're going to bring us 50 jobs, paying $17.07 an hour or more.
On average,
and so forth.
A minimum of that.
There's a way to quantify and measure this, because some people are saying, what if they collect all these goodies and take off? Here we go again. Well, that happened with Chatsworth, where the market turned after building a $9 million plant and a promise of 180 jobs. The city put some significant incentives on the table for those 180 jobs, and unfortunately the market turned and Chatsworth was not able to open the plant, so those incentives went away and had to be paid back. So there's ways to protect the taxpayer. Big picture, though, and Stillwater is a speculative park. And one caller or person typed in saying, well, everyone's just trying to cover their tracks because Stillwater was a big mistake. We don't think Stillwater was a big mistake. And trust me, once those jobs start coming in, or John Kennedy said, you know, victory has 1,000 fathers and orphan is a defeat. A defeat is an orphan. That fundamentally, once they see, you know, some blood in the water, the other sharks start circling, they're going to want to bring those jobs in and be part of the success.
There's a much better saying, build it and they will come. Well, so if we can get one business out there, we'll see what happens. Now, we got a caller. John, good morning. John, you're on line one.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Bad Bob, and Frank Strezzer.
Hi, John.
How are you this morning?
Hey, John.
Good morning. Thank you.
John, you've been busy on the chat room and now on the phone.
Yes, I have.
This has been a good day.
I'm really concerned about this letter of commitment to the Southwest Paper Company. I have talked to the CEO back in Massachusetts at his home, and this guy is so questionable as to be unbelievable that the city would even make an effort to tie up with him. I would like to know if Blank or anybody else can put any pressure on the city to do some due diligence about this Southwest Paper Company, because it hasn't been done. Pat Keener's been pushing this thing through his position of the Reading Economic Development Corporation. This guy is going to get free electric for the first couple of years. He's getting a commitment for a third of the park that he's going to be able to capitalize and bring cash out of the project, spend it. When he leaves and we're left holding the bag again, nothing. He's filed bankruptcies before. He's hurt other communities.
John,
are we going to do anything?
Yeah, John,
look into the background.
The one we're talking
guy.
About here is, of course, Southern Aluminum. That's coming before City Council on the 7th, and that's
no,
what this
I'm talking about
is.
The paper company.
Okay,
Frank.
Different subject, and the paper company is not coming online just yet. There are conversations and negotiations going on, but all the study and due diligence has, in fact, not been done. And so if you have information, you know, about the company, the background, I think there are some significant differences, and a lot of the allegations we've heard about Southwest, including the one about processing pulp and the smell and associated, are just not true. So just like in the case of Southern Aluminum that will be fully vetted out next Tuesday, Southwest Paper is going to get that due diligence. And if you have information that's viable, I've read some things online, and frankly, sometimes it's hard to know how viable and realistic those things are. But if you have information, John, of that nature, I'd suggest sending that right to the council or right to that. And you also have, of course...
I'm dealing with them face-to-face, Frank.
Well, good. Or come to the meeting.
Yes, I am bringing that forward.
Yeah, that's good. And I think that's valuable. Again, not everyone is going to agree with this. And some of these incentive deals clearly can be viewed as, by some, as being a gift of public funds or inappropriate. And that's where the democratic process unfolds. But from at least my organization's viewpoint, and I can only speak for the chamber, we are working our damnedest to try to bring some jobs into this community, and that's exactly what we need. And we think these two companies can help us get the jobs at Stillwater that will make a huge difference in getting our economy back on its feet.
Frank, I like what you're saying. The only problem is that all of these negotiations in regards to Southwest Paper have been done behind closed doors. The city council is not dealing with the public about it. They're dealing with the Reading Economic Development Corporation and the alleged gift or the person or the giftee, and not dealing with the public, who is the giftor in this case. And we are not having input to this process. It's being kept behind closed doors with the concept that it's a business negotiation. Well, it's a business negotiation of the people's money and the people's rights. We're getting screwed.
I would agree with your ability to be part of the process, but if you look at all the deals, whether Big League Dreams or Turtle Bay or everything, those deals started behind closed doors. They will be exposed to daylight. They will come before the public, and you will have a chance to speak to those. They cannot, in fact, pass those deals or make them happen without it being vetted out in public form, properly noticed before the residents, and every single resident, including yourself, can come out and speak for or against that project. You will have the opportunity. I understand your frustration.
I appreciate you saying that.
We got to take a break, guys.
Okay.
Look at the time.
Thank you, John.
John, you know the time better than we do here. Okay. Thanks, John, for your phone call. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We'll be right after these messages. KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bot, 855, December the 2nd. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor in the state. They can buy anything you want for your cigars, pipes, you know, chew, smokeless. Then you go into Espresso Joe's and get that great coffee fixed up by the girls, and buy all types of great presents in the coffee-making world with Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley. Great people and great members of our community.
Try their Jingle Crunch.
Yeah. Okay, there's a couple of questions that came in here about how do we head this off? How can we make it, you know, open? Well, it is open in the sense that before they can ratify it, it has to come out into the open. And that's it starts like next Tuesday at the City Council. You can go to Reading.com and get this non-binding letter of intent plus other things, right, Frank?
Absolutely, and it is on the website for the newspaper, but also the staff report will come out today at 4 p.m. Go to City of Reading's website. If you can't find it, send me an email, frank@readingchamber.com, and pull up this report, the documents, all the substantial background to what this deal is, and you'll see that letter of intent there, so you can see exactly what is being given and what the requirements are to perform to be able to give those things. So, you know, the process is an open process. I understand some of the callers' frustration because some things start start going down the track, like the hotel deal. People were very uncomfortable with the Turtle Bay because they thought it was a done deal before it was a done deal. Well, the public
and that was part of that was a dumb move by people in the city government who put out secret memos and were having a meeting without letting people know. I mean, just the perception was bad.
Same thing happened to us with the Radical 10. When Kent Dagg brought together a meeting, about 7 or 8 of those things have been done. It's an outstanding program, but they said, you're having secret meetings, you're doing this, but anything we agreed on had to be ratified in public or it didn't happen. So the public has way more power than it thinks it does. And if you look at the Lithia deal that didn't happen, the electric utility building across the street from City Hall that didn't happen, when the folks come out,
and you got to, you know what? But you got to get out there, people. So Tuesday night. Now, the one thing I have got a question on on this Southern Aluminum, and somebody can ask this one is, they have all these, and Dennis, yes, there are things they have to do. They just don't get the money under this. You need to look at it. But if they're buying this for $1.8 million, and we're forgiving certain percentages on performance. Are they making any payments at all during this time frame on that $1.8 million? Are they just getting it free until they reach this point? That would be my big question. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a great question. Remember on even Macy's coming in, there was concern that somehow Macy's would not hire local people, which, by the way, they did, or they would turn into just a B store or the Macy's Clearance Center. So there were clearly performance parameters. If we're going to fix the culverts, if we're going to add parking, we're going to put signalization at Dana and Churn Creek and all the different places, that, in fact, you're going to bring a store here that's a viable store. And they had these parameters, so that way, in case they changed their mind or did, I don't know, a double cross or bait and switch, they would not get those incentives. So I think the city's done a good job of protecting themselves. And if the citizens would actually look at those documents and look at the protections, which were actually kicked in when Chatsworth could not expand here, then they'll see that the city's done a pretty good job of due diligence.
Okay. Hey, our guest today, it's been a quick hour. And hey, thanks a lot to our listeners out there on the chat room. You guys have just been firing it up. And great questions, great feedback back and forth. Our guest is Frank Strazzarino of the Chamber of Commerce. You're one more time on the 8th, the 100th anniversary. It's going to be at the Civic Center.
That's right.
And it starts at what time?
It's going to start at 5:30. It's going to go till 8 o'clock. There's going to be great food, merriment, music. It's going to be right there at the Reading Convention Center. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary, so we'll be showing some pictures from years ago of all the past chairman and some of our activities. So you better come and just be sure your picture doesn't show up in our slide presentation.
Yeah, you know what we need to do, Frank? We need to have you on a regular basis, once a month, so we can go over a lot of these events. We haven't even touched half the things I wanted to talk about today.
Be happy to come back.
Great. Okay, hey, tomorrow we're going to be talking a parade on Saturday. We're going to be talking with Rick Hill. He's going to be talking about investments in the sense of what's going on this coming year. What are we looking at?
And don't forget tonight on the spot with Linda Bott, 6 p.m.
We'll be here.
Tune in for some free giveaways, some good gift certificate stuff, and some topical things about what's going on in town.
Got a lot of things going on this weekend, that's for sure, with the parade and all the other things. And the call on Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys, Joel. Which are you?
Make it a great day. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.